Don't record it taken out of context.
Yeah, that's the, I was just going to say taken out of context. It's just that knowing your place in the hierarchy of storytelling, movie production, things like that,
and
is based plain and simple professionalism. That's it. It's called professionalism.
That's why Cookie and I
and recording.
Along. That's why Cookie and I get along because he's the director.
You're about to enter into a world where all those classic movie monsters are still alive. A time when scary movies were fun for the whole family. And a place where the only colors you'll find are black, white, and shades of gray. Welcome to the Mimiverse.
Oh, she's the cat's meow.
What if she stole my pants?
Do.
Did you burn through all the cedar that was up here?
No, not yet.
Oh.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mimiverse Bonfire Podcast. We're traveling this episode, right guys?
Yeah.
Traveling.
Mobile.
We went outside the 494 loop, you guys.
The 494, 694 loop. We're now in Mexico.
Suburban Mexico.
There you go.
Where is Mitch?
Mitch was invited, but Mitch couldn't come.
Not in the people way, in the location way.
Oh, that's
this
terrible.
Actually, honestly, this is probably more little India than Mexico as far as like the people who live here.
Wow.
There's more delicious food out here in Egan than you would expect.
That'd be my lovely better half, Rhubarb.
Hey.
You know her. With us as always is Christopher Armim.
Hey.
The guy that's directed 10 films. And our special, special guest this evening is Teresa Shervin.
Hi.
How nice to have you on the podcast.
We're so thankful to have you on the show. I should also mention that her, you know, you probably know her husband if you're familiar with the films. His name is Dan Shervin. One of my favoriteest peeps.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. He goes by Daniel R. Shervin.
Yes.
Daniel R. Pretentious Sherman.
Pretentious R.
For Roosevelt.
And also, Steph Mim. Vanna Wife is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay.
Woo!
There you go. So,
our fire tender. Daniel R. Shervin.
That's terrible.
So far, the fire's pretty good. It's a little windy.
Well, this is one of the inaugural uses, if not the inaugural use of the new Shervin fire pit.
This is like the third.
Yet?
Only
okay.
The third. So okay.
That counts. We're going to count that. We haven't had Dan
Still
Shervin on the...
inaugural to us. So
yeah, inaugural to us.
Actually, only the second, honey, but I'm not here to correct you.
Nice.
This is going to be good.
Do more of that throughout the show.
So wait, Teresa is like, I'm not going to talk, and already she's already throwing you under the bus.
It's true.
This is good. See, you put a mic
like
in front
her.
Of someone's mouth.
Yes. We need to have Teresa on way more often.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be like, Shervin, we're taking your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
We need your wife to come out a little bit.
Wait a minute. We're going to be like, Shervin, I'm taking your wife?
What?
Perfect. That was one sentence. We're going to be like, colon,
Shervin,
we're taking your wife.
There should have been some punctuation.
Yeah, without punctuation, it's a little...
Sorry.
I'm going to be like, we're going to be like, Shervin, we're taking your wife. Yeah.
We haven't had Dan on the podcast since September of 2012.
Whose fault is that?
That's ours, actually. I freely admit it.
God, so much has changed.
I love her.
Actually, I think
I miss Teresa so much.
I think the truth should come out in that we actually barred... Shervin from being on the podcast after the Shannon Shervin debacle.
I think that was episode like number 12 or something like that.
We sort of barred both of them.
Yeah, because that if you've been listening that long, you know that that episode where they were both on it was a mess.
It was a storm.
We were. You guys drinking were, and enjoying each other's company just fine. We just forgot you were there.
Wait, seriously, that's what it came up to. It came down to. I think Steph and I were having a whole conversation about something else.
Yeah, it was a lot of old.
I think we were talking about movies or something like that.
There was some talk of probably a movie or two.
Yeah.
But, so I had approached Sherv and I said, "Hey Dan, why don't we do another podcast? It's been 3 years. You got some stuff to talk about." And he's like, "Yeah." So I want you to tell the story of how this podcast came to be.
So you hit me up on Facebook. You messaged me. Thank you for not like wall. Is it the wall?
Not on the wall. Yeah. I do private message.
I appreciate that. And I thought, wow, this is a really good idea because I haven't seen you guys in a while. Hey, Teresa, what do you think about this? And she's like, "I got an even better idea. I haven't seen these guys either. We should get them down here because
to Mexico.
To Mexico.
To suburban Mexico because no one knows where we live now.
To Mindia.
No one knows.
Mexindia?
I love it.
I don't. Yeah. Mexindia?
Little Mindia.
Little.
Indexico?
Indexico. That's better.
That's even better.
Indexico is better.
Indexico. We're going with that one.
Whatever.
To be fair, I used to work that way.
I know where you used to work.
I know, right? It's pretty cool. So I was like, I know where we're going. It's over. I told Mark, I'm like, it's over by U-Line.
Actually, we filmed a scene in Giant Spider not less than a mile and a half from where we're sitting now.
That's right.
So anyway, continue your story.
So I respond to Hater. Hey, my wife has a really good idea about the next podcast.
At least you're giving credit where it's due.
It is, and I was like, and so he responds, "Wait," or something along the lines. "Wait, your wife has a good idea about our podcast?"
I was so confused.
Why were you so skeptical?
Yeah, I was like,
it was just weird.
You talk to your wife.
Give me a call.
Yeah,
and this is. And then it got to the point where the wives are the social coordinators for all of us.
Yes, that's true.
We'll just let them speak.
And they did.
Yeah. We started a group.
Yeah. Well, to each other.
We'll allow you.
We have the calendars. We have all of the knowledge.
Yeah, it's true.
The men listening to this podcast, especially if you're over the age of 35 and in a committed relationship for any sort of time, at some point you've lost control of your own personal calendar. Am I right, fellas?
I don't think it's lost control. You just let it go.
Ah, okay.
Because you realize, dude, this is way easier.
You can't have two people keeping
calendars. So much easier just to let... to let you guys do it. The truth is, you want to do it, so we're the nice ones.
Truth is, you guys want to let us do it.
We're the ones who are being nice to you, but letting you control our lives.
I'm at odds here. It's kind of funny that I'm sitting exactly between you two because
you'll check the pictures on Facebook.
I'm just going to say you're both right. Yeah. So.
we should also mention this. This could be, ladies and gentlemen. The episode that pushes us over the top because Teresa is, we're going to say, basically 8.5 months pregnant. She is ready to pop at any given moment. So if she does go into labor, what are we doing, Chris?
We're filming that.
And we're going to have amazing audio.
And we're going to keep the audio running. We're not going to let the, we'll call an ambulance, but we're like, you have to deliver it here.
Yes.
Yeah.
On mic.
Yeah.
On mic.
I've done it enough. I think I can handle it.
Yeah.
I'll just catch. Steph will lead us.
Steph's the midwife here. She's got this.
We got a picnic blanket.
Yeah, we're good.
You're fine.
We could get some
hot water. Fuzzy blankets. We're all good.
We have access to hot water and plenty of towels.
Yes.
We do.
That's
what they tell you in the 50s.
That's all you need.
Hot water and towels.
In the old West, that's all you needed.
Yep.
We need a rope.
Bite down on this twig, woman.
A rope.
You'll get through it.
You have to. The cord. You have to tighten it.
Well, someone somewhere has. Oh, Mark has shoelaces.
I use my
shoelaces.
You'll tie it off your shoelace.
You have to tie it off
and then bite it.
Everyone
knows that.
Yeah. We need a rope.
So the last time we had Dan on the podcast was right before.
Yes.
I wasn't going to go there. Was right before his youngest daughter was born.
Reagan. Yep.
Yes. And now here comes number three. Another girl.
Yep.
Another girl.
It wasn't that long. It was even at our house.
It was
at our house. That's how long.
Wow.
That
how you feel about that, Teresa?
Our house now.
We're very excited. A little surprised when we found out, but we're very, very excited.
Everybody thought it was a boy. Like, she thought it was a boy. We all thought it was going to be a boy because her pregnancy is completely different. So it was like, oh, yes. Woohoo! I mean,
you know what that means.
Ferris Harlow, when you hear this later, I mean, I love you. I'm glad it's you.
So in other words, this is going to be the demon spawn child? Is
we'll
this
see.
What we're
you know?
Maybe you should have just stopped at Reagan.
Maybe. Yeah.
Nah, they still got a couple more to go, right?
You're going after that MIM number. You're going to try
I'm
to have
done
a
now.
Brady
what?
Bunch?
You when we met you, you're like, I want like 5.
That was before reality set in.
That was before you had one. You're like, nope, I want maybe 2.
Dan's 3. A little bit older than me.
Oh, she's called your ass old.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a 10. Right now, I'm 9 years older.
It's like a dating game,
so,
or like
yeah.
a Hollywood game or something.
I was 42 when we had David.
So it's doable. Huh? That's how old I am.
Yeah, but if I was 42, you would be 51. Talk about
Damn.
The grandpa showing up to the Girl Scout event.
Hey, look at me. All right? I got out of the car and your kids are like, grandpa's here. So shut up.
Yeah,
I
for people listening.
Believe it or not,
that.
I'm the youngest person next to you around this fire.
It's
you, then me.
Olivia, my daughter, says, Daddy, no someone's here. Who yeah. is it? Grandpa.
But... you know, a nice note. They were really excited.
Yeah,
well, that's good. That's good.
Because they probably
I'll
thought,
I'll take what I can get.
Grandpa had candy or money for them too.
It's like,
you know?
Oh, well, it's not someone else.
But they brought kids
to play with. Yeah,
I'm one of the few people around the circle who has not hit 40 yet.
Oh shh,
man.
Steph is still 29.
That escalated right. quickly, yeah. Chris. Thanks.
Yeah, way to go. Way to bring it down.
Ass. So yes, and on behalf of the Bonfire Podcast crew, we want to thank Dan and Teresa. Or actually, let's go the other way.
Yeah.
Teresa and Dan for the invite and the hospitality and all the great food. So
absolutely, anytime.
They have a fantastic fucking house. I swear to God,
it's, nice.
It's like Shea Shervin over
Stop
here.
It. Yeah. Okay,
so
here we go.
Anybody who
here.
Wants to come in from out of town and stay, just
we got
the
room. They got the room.
Yeah, come on.
They have rooms that don't even have anything in them yet. That's how new they are to move it in.
I got to tell you, up until 2 weeks ago, we were still living out of boxes. Until finally, it was we have people coming who are going to be sleeping like in those rooms. Every room was taken with air mattresses or something like that. So it was the you got to get your stuff out now.
You know,
there's nothing like a deadline to make you unpack your box.
And in defense of your wife, there is a almost fully grown human newborn kicking her in the ribs right now.
Yeah.
So I think you got a good excuse. Or really, it all comes down to you had no excuse. She has a good excuse.
I had all
Chris.
My stuff put away
you know what?
Like
I take
the
it
day
back.
We moved in. So
I take it back from earlier. I'm on her side now.
I'm on her side.
I was.
I'm
okay. Bye.
Well, and actually, if I can bring it on back to the podcast for a second and hop right in, since many of you know Shervin, and if not, listen to some of the podcasts. Watch the movies. Buy them on
StateEuphoria.com. You don't. Why are you listening to this?
Right. Yeah. Well, because you want to learn more about Dan Shervin, and you'd like extra stuff from the members. So, truth told, if you guys are friends of the Mimiverse Bonfire Podcast on Facebook,
we've probably met. In real life.
Well, you'll know that we had originally set up our guest already, and Shervin is actually a fill-in.
Oh.
So we
Dan,
called him at the last minute.
Out.
Well, no. We had Sauron all
Ooh,
set up.
That's right.
All
that?
Set up.
Sauron.
So
the Lord of the Darkness, that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, from the Lord of the Rings, the Eye of Sauron. So, yeah. Dan...
Was he available for
well,
a Minnesota
he,
podcast?
He was, but he had to pull out at the last minute. There was some family stuff going on. So, actually, we've got
kind
some questions.
Dick, is really what it comes down to.
We got questions.
Typecast.
He's for, a dick, and she said pull out.
Wow. Okay, after
Wow. We just went blue, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
So, Shervin...
Teresa went blue.
Good point.
So, Shervin, we had received some questions from Sauron,
oh.
for Sauron, from our loyal listeners. Do you mind answering some of
you know
his
what?
Questions?
You know what?
Since I nobody asked questions of you because they didn't know.
Because they didn't know.
Yeah,
I will do my best
to... Do you
to,
mind?
Hold on, let me channel.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, are you ready?
Feel your darkness.
Okay, so...
That's what I call it.
So this question is...
What's Sauron?
Why is Mordor so dark and dreary?
That's a good question.
Yeah? Is it?
You know, it's kind of like... I kind of feel it's like Land of the Midnight Sun. When you go so far north, 6 months of the year, it's just dark.
Okay.
The other half is like, they're just like the land of the midnight sun all the time.
Okay.
It's not their fault. It's geographical. It's science.
Okay.
I buy this.
Yeah. Okay, so...
It's home.
My wife is looking at me like, what the heck are you
it's
talking
home,
about?
What can you do?
She's never seen Lord of the Rings. She hates it. So
I have seen Lord of the Rings. It was a prerequisite to our marriage.
I'd like to say that she didn't say, yeah, said, I have. She didn't say
it.
I.
And yet he's the one
she
who's
liked
like,
it. She just
who's
said,
Sauron.
I have seen it.
Okay.
I no, did. I didn't like it.
I did hate it.
I hated it.
Even I don't really like it.
But Dan made me watch all the Harry Potter movies and then all the Lord of the Rings movies.
Wow.
Harry Potter had way better special effects, so I liked it better.
Okay.
I've never seen all the Harry Potter
Okay, well then movies. maybe you will take this next question that was for Sauron. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Sauron, Teresa, if you really have an all-seeing eye, how could two hobbits and Gollum just walk into your land? I mean, seriously, what was that eye looking for anyway?
Do you even remember what Sauron is? It's that big freaking eye.
On the top of the tower.
It
with
must
the,
have been
the magic
it must have
it.
Been a masculine eye looking at boobs. I don't know.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'll take it.
Oh, good. Chris, right here. All right.
Okay. Only a little on fire.
Yeah.
Not flaming quite.
No, I don't
know. Put on fire.
Really
yeah, not flaming.
You ask. Sailor.
These are for Sauron, you know. Okay, so Shervin, for on behalf of Sauron.
Yeah.
How did it feel taking over Morgoth's job?
Good at first. A lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure to be the evil of the evilest. Kind of itchy.
Okay.
So it's like anything, you know?
And
it sounds exciting until it becomes a job.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I really like this until it became like, I have to do it to feed my family.
I have to do it.
Yeah.
Versus, I wanted to do it.
The love is gone.
Then it's like, if it's not me, then who?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
God, if you want to be the best evil of the, yeah.
Yeah.
So then there's a question from my paddle girl, Kira.
Oh, yeah. How is she?
She's great. Actually, I saw her the other day. She's really in pretty good spirits. She's doing a friend show. You should go see it. She asked.
What's it called?
The fattest girl in the room?
Who?
I don't remember, but it's a really
that
good show.
That sounds close.
It's really good.
Yes.
It's like the biggest girl wins.
Or something. Yeah.
Yes.
It's good. It's a really good script. She's super excited about it.
Okay.
Go Fringe. She asks, why didn't you become invisible wearing the one ring? Everyone else does.
Passé. It's beneath me.
Oh! Okay.
Only people who have seen these films are going to laugh hysterically.
Yeah, you're making a lot of super nerds really, really happy. Yay.
I'm a nerd myself.
So there's only one more, but it's a two-parter.
Oh,
okay.
My favorite.
So the question goes like as such. It. So what you're beating the snot out of Gandalf. You're clearly winning. Number one, why didn't you just kill Gandalf? Why did you have to pack him up, just, you know, put him in the little holding cell? And then number two, how do you feel about moths now?
Tired.
Okay, you know, I suffer from the same ailment as James Bond villains. You know, I could have killed James Bond whenever I want, but I can't really talk, so I don't get to monologue. I don't get to go on and on and on how evil I am and how I'm going to take over the world. I just put people in towers. Those damn moths. You know, I thought I dotted all the I's. I thought I crossed all the T's. And then these damn moths come around. What in the world? Moths? Come on. They're annoying in closets and stuff. I have my cedar chests. I come prepared. But no. That's all I have to say about the topic. I'm done.
All right. Well, thank you on behalf of Sauron. And Sauron, so, Gray Wizard Unicorn. Give us a call.
Inside joke. Something about this feels like a really weird, like, improv act, you know.
Dan can think on his feet. Yeah. He's cool.
I haven't seen you guys in a while.
Yes.
I had a lot of pent-up energy.
The last time we talked to Shervin was before, if you remember, Chris, we were talking to him before The Giant Spider.
Yes.
So he has not...
He's even got another movie in there.
He even had another movie, so it's been far too long. So that's our fault. We apologize.
You know, we were talking about so many things have passed. Yes, I moved to suburban Mexico. Guadalajara, Mitchville, whatever.
Into Mexico.
I think the rest of the podcast should be in Spanish.
Yeah.
See. And I'm spent.
I want to hire the guy to do the podcast who does my voice in Esperanto.
There you go.
So, let's just talk about the things that have changed. I think 200 pounds has changed between
between all of us?
Because
or?
You lost it and then it came back. Yeah. It's, you
that's
know.
Not a very nice thing to say to me, Dan.
Oh. Oh, some other of your children.
Isn't it going to be like this all night, honey? I'm so glad you're here.
You get a pass because you're making a baby. You're good. Yeah, I know. You're good.
I know women have the best diet program ever. And one day she's going to lose like 9 pounds, you know, that's 8 it? Pounds, 10 ounces, and then whatever comes with it, you know.
It's awesome. That other stuff that comes out.
That's what the
blood and
you know. And then, yeah, let's talk about other babies. Movies. You guys, yeah, have them. You guys have done other movies. I have done other movies. There's yes. been a lot of...
You exist warm. Outside the Mimiverse is what you're trying to say?
Sometimes. No. Sometimes.
No one's ever seen any of your other work.
And Teresa
kind of
allows
retired
this.
Right now. I've been retired for... it'll be a year in May.
Although, you're going to come out of retirement next year, right?
What's next year, Chris?
You know, I haven't talked to my wife about it yet.
But wait, you retired?
No. Apparently, you didn't talk to her about that either.
What the was 2 weeks ago?
What happened 2 weeks ago? I was just going to say, oh, no, honey, that was just for you and me. That's not going on the web.
That's to watch when we're, you know, 60.
Yeah,
we're
60. Like,
look at
when
how
things were where
we
they
were
supposed to be. Hold on. Can you hear the jingle of my cocktail?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good.
It's awesome.
Thank you. I've been trying to think, what else has passed? I mean, you guys have had a few movies and...
We did some movies. I mean, you were in...
Been around the
you
world.
You were in Late Night Double Feature.
Late Night Double Feature, I was. That was... You know what I loved about that? I saw it again recently. I was like, that was my marathon body. I ran a marathon like either the month before or a month right after we yep. filmed that. So yep. I was like, I have cheekbones. I look great. and that has passed. I'll just say that. So...
So you're saying we've all gotten a little fatter.
I said 200 pounds. I think yeah. that was pretty good.
Hey, between the six of us, I'll be saying, yeah, that's probably
right. We're working on it, man. We have a curling team now. We're coming. I mean, come on. The Rock Monsters are going to win a game this season, maybe. A game.
Maybe. I like how he throws the maybe at the back end.
Maybe
of that.
On Tuesday.
Got to win one
we'll
game.
We'll talk about the curling team later.
Okay. So we had the Late Night Double Feature. You've also had...
Dan Johnson Saves the World.
Danny Johnson Saves the World. Great
which
premiere.
Which I actually told Dan he had to come to the premiere because he had to see his cinematic children's adventure.
And I showed up... We've talked about this too. Probably the best dressed I've ever been at any premiere because I came straight from work.
Yes, with the name tag and everything on it.
Yeah, I still had my name,
did
my security
the
badge.
Red polo or whatever I was wearing.
I don't even remember what I was wearing that day.
Wasn't it a sweater?
Oh yeah.
It was a sweater. Oh, yeah. I had a collar and a yeah, that's right. I wore a collar, which that's rare form.
Actually, question for Chris:
yeah.
Why don't you have Shervin's darling children in Danny Johnson Saves the World as little bodies?
I think they should show up at some point in some future movie.
But they won't be his kids in the film.
No,
it'll
course,
be all your kids.
No, they'll be my kids
yes.
in the movie.
Yeah, for once.
Right? I'll just...
We'll swap them
we'll
out.
Swap, right.
Child swap. There's wife swap. We'll do child swap.
That's right. That means Teresa has to be in it as my wife then. We'll just be standing there with kids like, look at that! You know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah,
just,
right.
just as extras.
Steffi's been... Oh, yeah.
Right, Steph? I mean,
wait,
sense.
Is Teresa down for this? Because I want to know.
She's been in a movie before.
I'm
she's
totally
on a documentary.
Down. I'm just worried that Reagan's going to be like, but wait, Grandpa.
That's okay. I'll be the grandpa then. I'm okay with that.
Wow. The wound is still fresh.
It only hurts a little. A
you
lot.
Did play a grandpa
shut
in
up.
Moon Zombies.
Yeah, I did. Granted, in the 50s, being a 39-year-old grandfather was
not unheard of.
Not that unusual.
Well, let's be honest. By 16, those childbirthing hips have already shown.
I know. And
we
you
have
know,
to, like, oh, your life is going to pass before
I've already
you.
Been smoking for 8 years by the time you turn 16.
That's right.
So, I mean, come on.
That's right. Okay, now let me think. I say a year, last a year, May 14, I was, we have another friend in town. He did, he's a writer-director, very much like Chris Mim, and he shot his film out in L.A. called 400 Days. I am, and I'm going to tell you right now, I had a character. His name was the Emaciated Man, and by looking at me, you can tell, Emaciated Man. And really, it's because that actor didn't show up. And they needed to fill somebody fast, so I was there.
Michael would have worked. He's pretty skinny.
It was kind of on short notice kind of thing. So I have a scene. That character had a scene with Dane Cook and Brandon Roth, the bad Superman. Or the when I say bad Superman, everyone who says, oh, he was the worst Superman of all the Supermans. Maybe, whatever. Good guy. He's a nice guy. So
I don't think he was the bad Superman so much as he was in the really bad Superman movie.
There you go. Yep. Yep.
I think Teresa disagrees with you. She has this look on her face like...
Have I seen that Superman?
I don't know.
Superman Returns?
Superman Returns. Yep. Brandon Roth.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Who was the bad guy in that one?
Brandon Roth?
The no, like, the who was the bad guy?
Well, it was Lex Luthor played by Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that one. It was
it's not
bad.
The worst. It's not the worst movie ever. It's just not particularly great.
I just don't think the way that they put it, they want, what they want to do is fill the gap between, what, 2 and 3?
Well, just skip 3 and 4, basically.
Or maybe, yeah.
Still better than Man of Steel.
Oh, really?
I hate Man of Steel.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't hate it. It's just, it's too angsty. For Superman.
I appreciated it because they did what the other movies couldn't do, which is to say he has all these really awesome superpowers. They were never really able to show them.
Well, that's true. I just didn't like the characterization of Superman as this, like, angsty. It was too brooding-y. It was too, like, they wanted to make him Batman.
Maybe. Yep, DC's very serious. Marvel's very funny.
I just think they could have done the, and I've said this many times before, I think they could have done the Captain America route of the Man Out of Time much more.
Maybe.
Sort of like, how does Mr. Goody Two Shoes
fit in
the modern world?
Yep.
But that's what Captain America's for.
So. That's right. Teresa hates it. So
how can you hate Captain America?
I don't hate Captain America. I just like the
you
Avengers
hate America
better.
Oh, you like the Avengers better.
You hate America.
She doesn't hate America.
she won't
lean up
she
to
just
the mic.
Says,
I don't know if it's
no.
I don't care for Captain America.
I can
much.
Boost her.
Anyway, that's the last time I've ever done anything.
Do you like Captain America?
He's go see 400 Days.
When's that coming out?
Is that a national release?
Yeah, it's going to be in 15 cities. And I will tell you, I'm in 3 scenes. You will not know they are me. Emaciated Man got cut from...
You got cut completely? You're not in the movie at all?
You get to see me. I don't speak now. Or, and yes, I never... There's no... I mean, I... The Emaciated Man, I'm not in credits. I'm not in anything.
So you're just an extra.
I'm an extra. I got cut down to an extra. But I'm in 3 scenes. Like, my shoes are in one scene. I mean, my feet are... I'm on a gurney. You can see me at the end of a hall because I needed to fill space. I grabbed a camera. I'm a cameraman in one scene. And
you
do get to see me.
You still have to tell Chris when it opens so that he can send out the mail
to
everyone.
Yep. And support another Minnesota filmmaker, writer, director, Matt Osterman. If you don't know who that is, check
I'll
him
say
out.
One thing though, that makes that guy not like me.
Who?
Matt Osterman.
What do you mean he doesn't like you?
No, how he?
Oh,
is,
he's unlike,
he is
not
unlike
similar.
Me.
Okay.
He doesn't have the key to a city.
That's true. Oh, let's talk about now.
I have a key to a city.
That's another
saw
thing.
That.
I have a key to a city.
That is another thing that
I just
changed.
Have to point that out as much as possible.
Let's talk about it
because that makes me. Because how many people do you know have keys to cities?
I have
just
the key to your
one,
house,
right? Me
and the key to your heart, Chris.
No, that was just the coolest thing ever. I just want to bring it up again because I have the key to a city. It's not like Minneapolis or anything.
Did you talk about
Lake
it at the last
awesome.
Podcast or no?
No, this just happened like
last week,
3 days ago.
Another thing that has happened since the last time we had
see?
A podcast.
Key to the city.
We'll talk about it. Tell us what happened.
Oh, I got the key to the city.
Where, what, when, how?
Here, since Chris isn't going to tell you, I will.
Thanks, hater.
So basically, there was a screening put on by Chris Coleman.
Chris
Costello. Gosh
Chris
darn it.
Coleman, isn't he like the mayor of St.
Yeah,
Paul?
Yeah,
point?
Something like
Chris
that.
Chris Coleman.
I pretty much never remember
Chris Costello,
name.
He runs the Ed Wood Grimm's Thursday Night Frights
in
Forest
Lake
and
Minnesota.
For the last 7 years.
Yes.
And they always show our movies once a year.
Yeah.
Yes, he
and
does.
He pointed out how Chris had made 10 films in 10 years, and it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
Next thing you know, Chris drags up the mayor of Forest Lake.
Not Mim, Chris.
Yeah, Chris Costello.
Actually, the guy who introduced it was Eric Johnson, who is actually... Here's a great link to Eric Johnson, not the guitar player, but Eric Johnson. it is Eric Johnson, right?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Eric Johnson, he is the film studies... professor at UW River Falls, where our intern Shane McDonough,
guy who doesn't exist to us anymore,
right? That's where he. Oh, that's where we found Shane was through Eric Johnson at the UW River Falls. So
oh, there you
cool
go.
Link. So Eric Johnson was the one who introduced
the mayor of Forest Lake.
Right.
And the mayor of Forest Lake has this big plaque that he has turned around and. Nobody, I mean, Chris told me after the fact and told all of us after that, he had no idea that this was actually happening. But basically, you know, he proclaimed it Christopher R. Mim Day and turned around and gave him a key to the city.
Key to the city.
Forest Lake.
It was
I just
so
like,
cool.
I like that your day is in the summer.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Like, enjoy
you have a day
it.
In the
we
summer.
Can have a parade for Chris R. Mim.
July 30th is
throw
now
out good
my
candy.
Day.
It'll be a
it
day
was
to
so
remember.
So weird, but I told Steph we were driving home. Like I was still kind of stunned and shocked by it because it was like, what? How does this?
What
when does
happen?
Who does this happen to? And I said, you know, I was really happy though because it was one of the few times that not only did like you know Steph and the kids and I show, but like. All of us were there, which is pretty rare to get all of us, yeah. including like Michael and Liz.
Jim and
Liz is
Mitch
almost
and
always
us and
busy,
Liz
right? So it's impossible to get
kids.
Her to do anything. So it was like, and we didn't know this was happening. So it was just like out of pure luck.
Yeah,
we were all there.
It's outstanding.
I told Steph, I was like all the people I would have wanted there were there, except like maybe my mom. But it was like, that's not her thing to go out on a Thursday night. She's old.
Wait, Jules was there?
No, she wasn't. Oh, she'll be the first to tell you. I'm not going out on a Thursday.
That's
not,
I know, but I'm just saying.
But it's like we had Mark and Ruby there, and Norgard was there, and even Mitch showed up, of all people.
Yeah. And it didn't rain.
And it didn't rain.
Mitch brought a guest. Tim yeah. Fox was there and brought a guest.
Yeah, it was just
there
it was super
of,
cool. All the people that were there, it was like the people that I would have wanted had everyone else known but me, it was still like the people I would have wanted there. No offense, Dan, but it was just like those are the sort of inner circle people who
just
been
got really dark right there for a second.
Really involved yeah. in a
you
lot
made
of the movie
sad.
Making. Oh, come on. I see once a quarter.
I know, it's true. It's our fiscal responsibility.
Yeah. So it was really cool to have like everybody, like all the people I would want there, absolutely like, it's like these are the people that absolutely have to be there, were there.
No, it was very cool to be there
minus,
and
like,
witness. Because he didn't know what was happening, so he was in a rare Chris Mim moment. He didn't actually know what to say.
I was like,
it was I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to say congratulations on that,
thanks.
Too, because I will say this, though. I mean, how many... You know, I've been doing this for a while, and there's not too many filmmakers who can say they do a movie every year for 10 years.
That's what feels
it's,
weird about not doing one this year.
It's really easy for actors.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because we get our 20 pages, 30 pages that we got to make sure that we get right. But for writers and directors, it takes a long time.
You know, if you're in one of my movies, that 20 pages is one single monologue.
That's true.
Yeah.
And if you have to deliver it, you're generally standing there.
That's right.
Not doing anything else.
Except repeating the same word 6 times.
Yeah, that
That's
too.
What? In different ways.
Yeah. Always different ways.
It's the same concept.
That's true.
6 different
just
ways.
So everybody
are you doing
gets
more
it?
Wood?
I'm just teasing you.
Give it more just wood, man. Give it more. Wood.
So sure, while Mark is doing that, fill it up. We should pimp it again.
As I give it wood.
Oh, boy.
Mm. Fill it up.
We should pimp one more time since what? Dan hasn't heard the story. Chris is taking 1 year off from doing a feature.
Yeah, that's
feature.
Really good because I didn't even
That's
know.
Right. We're working on the Monster of Phantom Lake, the musical.
Right.
Yep.
In honor of the 10th.
Which is coming along.
Yeah. Did I mention that I sing?
What?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, Teresa's going to be in it?
I'm going to call our
tell
friend
you,
Mike
you,
Cook and
you,
see if he's going to roll.
Give, she's going to be coy about this. My wife has, she has near perfect pitch.
Had.
We got a little one coming, mama.
And she's like, when she was younger,
the Sherbin
she
DNA
went like,
wrecked everything.
Piano competitions and all kinds of stuff when she was growing up. So where is this going to be? When is it going to
well,
be? Who's all involved?
It's now being pushed kind of to July of
well,
next year.
Yeah, we.
Oh.
What we would really, really like is to Kickstarter or equivalent enough money to get the Mabel Tainter, which is a wonderful, lovely little
did you
theater.
See something? Taint?
Yeah, at the
yeah,
Taint. It's
called,
beautiful.
It's called the Mabel Tainter. It's actually one of the nicest, like 10 best theaters
it is.
In the country. It's
and where's that at?
It's in
Menominee. Outside
Menominee.
Of Menominee.
There you go.
Yes, it's just outside of Menominee.
Rue and I have a connection with the Mabel Tainter in this fact that I'm actually the guy that designed their
You have a connection
system.
With the Mabel Tainter?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
I'm sorry.
Pervert, get your mind out of the gutter.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm the guy that designed the new rigging system in the Mabel Tainter.
Yeah.
In Menominee.
All right, so
but anyway, if we get enough money by our deadline to final sign the contract.
Okay, so let's talk about it. What's so, the deadline? Let's
Well, that's still coming together.
It
that's,
is
it's
still.
All very much a
But there's going to be
developed.
There's going to be a lot of reminders for money because it is expensive to put on shows.
All right, so everybody who's
Tens
listening,
of thousands of dollars.
It
my
actually
last
is.
Name is spelled S J E R V E N. My first name is Daniel, traditional biblical spelling. And I say, find me, and find Chris, and we're gonna plaster the world with this information.
Yeah, if everyone gives $25 like they always give for the movie,
find me on
and
Facebook.
Then find a friend to give also $25.
And he'll make sure we get some.
then we'll get the theater that we want, because it's a lovely little space with great lights and a lot of seats and a good pit for music. You know, an orchestra pit. It's all a lovely place. Let's Otherwise, we're going to end up at the Red Eye, which sucks.
Let's talk about it in relation to suburban Mexico. Where is this town again?
It's east of the Twin Cities.
Yep.
Right down 94.
It's about an hour and a half.
All right,
so what is the casting and rehearsal and all that stuff going to be like?
That is not my problem. I'm writing the script, and then they're doing the rest.
Don't look at me. I'm the lighting designer.
I'm writing the script, and then I'm going to help with promotional stuff,
I'm there as tech support.
Mike Cook is the guy to talk to.
Mike and Adam are heading this thing, and they're doing a great job, and I'm in charge of looking at tech stuff.
Why don't you just say, Dan, don't audition?
Awesome. No, you need to audition Dan
Sherbin. Dan, don't audition. Well, could play Sven.
You could play Sven. That'd be pretty freaking awesome.
That'd be so hard. Anyway, let's move on.
But yeah, so we're super excited about it. We really want enough money to be at a good theater with a nice tech stuff.
Probably next July.
And it's probably next July.
And in theory, we're actually looking at Teresa for a role.
Oh, is that nice?
She's going to play Stephanie.
I was just going to help with the promotional stuff and maybe like the bikini car wash or something.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Bum, bum, bum. We know a lot of college co-eds. It'll be sweet.
But in the meantime, we should say, because we talked about this, we had the exclusive on last episode
podcast
about the other celebration of the year of the Monster Phantom Lake next year, is that we'll be releasing a special edition DVD of the film converted into 3D.
With 3D glasses.
With 3D glasses, the whole old school thing.
Oh, are we talking about the red blue 3D
glasses? Old school red blue. Okay. Well, probably do magenta, cyan, or whatever.
That works a little better.
Because it's a little easier on the eyes with modern TVs. But it's being converted, and that will be available. And we're going to, on March 9th, 2016, which is a Wednesday, and that is the official 10-year anniversary of the release, because that's when it first was released.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Wednesday. We're going to do an event here in town. We're going to do a screening and some other stuff. And just as a sales thing, I just tell people, you know, we have the new fan club. We're going to do some extra stuff for the fan club members.
What is it?
There's another official Memberverse fan club.
There
And it currently has some members, including our good friend Mitch Obrecht, of course. But there's going to be an event specifically for those fan club members before the March 9th thing. Probably on the 8th, we'll do a special dinner or something. I haven't decided yet, but they'll get something special.
So, time out. How do you become a member of the official Memberverse fan
club? Go to SaintEuphoria.com, and there's a link right there to join the fan club.
Boy, am I glad I asked.
The other thing, though, is in addition to asking, you know, begging for money for our Kickstarter for our once we're going to get the Kickstarter going with the musical, is that we're also doing contributor credits for the new Monster Phantom Lake DVD.
Which would be super awesome.
And right now, they're actually going live tonight.
Oh, good.
But when this comes out, they'll have been live for a couple weeks. And people, again, get the same deal, get their name in the credits. I'm going to add a special thanks at the end, and they get... Before they would get like a copy of the DVD, they're going to get a ticket to the screening premiere party too.
Nice.
So it's a little better deal than normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I dropped out.
And
that's all right.
And as far as the Kickstarter for the musical, actually, Teresa, that's a great idea. I think everybody should have a car wash, giving all proceeds to the Monster Phantom Lake musical. Because seriously, I want to do it in a nice theater, you guys.
And Mark can wear a mankini.
Yeah.
Can you get bikinis manufactured that have, you know,
the handprint right on the junk?
Or
because that's classy.
You know, that's a good start.
I mean, thinking that actually.
There's a good
start. The monster eyes on one on each boob.
That'd be great.
You know, but I'm just saying, look, you can just have them all themed of all kinds. You know,
make it happen, fans. Come on, we really want to have it in a great theater. We don't want to have it in a dump with no lights.
I think we're talking to you, Shannon McDonough.
With no lights.
Wherever you are,
with
Shannon McDonough, you have a hand in that.
Work lights. Just turn them on,
you know,
turn them off.
About it. Shannon would be perfect for that because she makes her own stuff.
Shannon could play a character. I mean, she could play Stephanie.
She has to audition. Everyone has to audition.
She makes her own clothes.
So Shannon's going to make bikinis now?
Good job, Shannon. Thanks for getting on
the show. Thanks for that, Shannon.
That was really cool of you. So, there you go.
We just volunteered you for work.
See how much happens when you...
When we hang out with Dan and Teresa.
Yeah, see, we have to spend...
We got to start doing... Now that I have an anchor...
Yes.
We have to do this more than once a quarter.
I agree.
I'm just making an
example. Twice a quarter.
Huh?
Every 6 weeks instead of every 12.
That's right. That's
awesome.
Right.
Also, when Teresa does go into labor, what was it, dear, that we were going to provide Teresa at the hospital?
Oh, she said she's already got all that covered. So I'm just going to show up with a big old bottle of booze and tell her to pump and dump.
Tequila's her favorite.
Okay,
don't let her
you
fool
got it.
You.
Let me true. Let me know. Let me know. I'll be there, girl.
Is it true? Just say yes or no. What's your favorite? Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yet she hates Lord of the Rings.
That's why she moved to Mexico.
But she likes tequila.
She's a keeper.
You're a bit
She's
of a
keeper.
You're a bit of an enigma here.
I think I tolerated Lord of the Rings with tequila.
Yeah,
That's all right.
Tequila makes everything better, from what I understand.
So, Mark, we should probably check in with Sherman and see what else he's been up to.
So, since we've had you on the show,
yep.
Giant Spider has come and gone.
Yep.
Then we did Late Night Double Feature has come and gone.
Yep.
And now Danny Johnson Saves the World has come and gone.
I've been in attendance for all of those. That's about all I can say.
Well, we want to hear stories that from the movies that you are in, and we also want to finish catching up with you.
No, I mean honestly, after that 400 days, I think I was pretty much already in retirement for the most part. Because Matt Osterman and I are pals, because I was in his first movie, Ghost from the Machine.
Which was phenomenal.
Yeah,
we watched it.
It was Phasma Ex Machina.
Yeah, but now it's Ghost from the Machine.
Now it's Ghost from the Machine because that picked up for distribution, and when you go onto Netflix.
We saw it on Netflix.
It's Ghost in the Machine now.
He's that other guy with the key that's... Oh, no, he doesn't have a key to a city. Sorry.
It doesn't... Oh, yeah, right, exactly. That's right.
You mean the guy that doesn't have a key?
You mean the guy who doesn't have a key to a city?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay, him.
Yeah, so...
Oh, you know.
Oh, I just realized this is just a giant pissing match for you now.
I'm sorry. He kind of wins because he actually does have like a Holly. I mean, he's got a movie with Superman in it. I got Dan in my movies. No offense,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Although I do have to say something before I forget. Speaking of Superman,
yes.
And the fact that you're wearing a Superman shirt works even better. When I was at this thing in Forest Lake,
yes.
Chris Costello, who runs the thing, he said, what are you going to do next? And I said, well, I have a bunch of ideas. And one of which I haven't really talked about this publicly, but I'll just say it now, is one of those ideas that I have that I think is really cool is the idea of doing a Mimmiverse superhero movie. Right?
Yeah.
I already said I would be in it.
But he said, without prompting, I told Chris Costello that was one of my ideas. He's like, well, you already got the guy who looks like Clark Kent. Use him. And in fact, anytime I ever bring up the fact that I would want to do like maybe a superhero, I was like, well, then Dan's got
to
be in.
Everybody just automatically defaults to you. Apparently, Teresa.
I really don't like that you're stroking his ego.
Nice.
It's going to take like a couple weeks to bring it back down.
Well, no. Everyone thinks Dan looks like a damn superhero. So you have a year to get in shape.
I'm just going to throw this out right now, Dan.
About 6 months.
Before we start,
Doug
filming.
Sidney, who was in a Superman film,
I was just gonna say
he looks nothing like him.
Doug Sidney.
He looks nothing like
Doug
Superman.
Doug Sidney's gonna play the bad guy, I think.
There you go.
What
he'd
about?
He'd probably do that
he'd
too.
Do it. That'd be awesome, and you know it.
I was just gonna say, I actually thought we were gonna do something else along the lines of Doug and I, and actually Doug and I have flat. Doug. I'm sorry. Hold on. What?
Kids have questions. Kids' questions are important.
Hell yeah!
I just want to show my daughter Reagan, Ray J. Said
she's adorable.
She just got her chocolate bar and graham crackers all by herself.
She did. And she made it all by herself.
She made a s'more all by herself.
And she is three.
Good for you.
Impressive.
Doug and I flat out said, I feel like Doug and I will own up to this. We're going to blow all the other Mimiverse pictures away. He and I are ready to go.
All right.
Oh, I like this.
All right, so...
So
I think Doug as the bad guy is a good idea.
That's a go.
Oh, I do.
You won't see his face or anything, but it'll be him under that.
What?
He'll have a mask or something,
right?
Does he? Does he?
He's got to be evil.
He
can play
evil.
Crazy. He can play
that's
crazy.
True. Yeah, we all could.
Maybe this is what happens to Barney Collins.
Who's Barney Collins?
It was his character from The Wall People.
I know. Well, I didn't know that's what his name is. I just assumed. Because they're all connected. One way or
but,
another.
But so that seriously, whenever I've ever brought that up to people, they're like, well, it's got to be Dan Shervin, right? I'm still mad that we never, we talked about doing as a special feature on the Giant Spider DVD was just doing a quick shot when we were out in the woods.
Yep.
Of having you like sort
pull
of
open my,
pull open your shirt and run into the camera. I was like, why the hell didn't we ever do that? That would have been so cool.
While we're on the subject of Giant Spider, now that it's out and it's 2 years old,
yeah.
What do you, what are your thoughts on it? What'd you think?
It's really probably one of the, okay. Because I, you know, part of the things, I wear my heart on my sleeve. We had this conversation when I talked about, you know, I won't say it this time, Chris, because the last time I said, you know, this is arguably the worst of the movies that Chris has ever done. And I think Chris's response was, wow, you just said it just like that. It's out there.
Wow, thanks.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So.
And of course, we're talking about Cave Women on Mars, right?
Yeah. Yep. That's.
I don't think that's it.
Actually. Or it could be the one before that.
Do you really?
Oh. Talking about a scene that I had with your wife, Chris, when you throw out words
very
like that.
Sensitive about it.
Yeah. Anyway, so it is really. I think it's better than. I think there was a lot of hoopla. I can say this. I think there's a lot of hoopla with Moon Zombies. I think it's better than Moon Zombies.
I would agree.
I think it's faster paced. I think that Chris is. That he did a good job. He really tries hard to stay true to the homage-ness of the 1950s movie style. But I think that the Giant Spider was like the perfect bridge between modern cinema and that.
Well, here's something funny. Speaking of the Giant Spider.
Yeah.
This was really funny is, you know, Giant Spider is the best seller of all my films. I think it's the one that just kind of sells itself because it's a Giant Spider movie. You don't have to... Yeah. You don't need...
Jeez, no, what's this about, Chris?
Yeah, exactly.
It recently, promises and delivers.
Recently, someone gave it a review on Amazon, and this was the one right before the most recent one, which was the most recent one was just said excellent, five stars.
Said
so that's
accident?
Pretty cool. Excellent.
Oh, this is excellent.
The one before that though gave it one star, and they're like. Their big complaint was, I wish someone would have put on there that this movie was made in the 1950s. I hate 1950s movies. I'm mad that they didn't actually put on there when it was made.
Hmm.
And I was like, that's actually kind of a compliment because I totally fooled your ass. And well, you're mad about it. Ha! I win.
Oh, it does say when it's made.
I know.
It does say when it's made.
They're dumb.
I was just
on the back and in the credits.
Yeah. Well, he watched it on demand, though. So, it doesn't, it, you know, but still, it's funny because I was like, I just totally fooled you into thinking it was an actual 50s movie.
Good job.
Enough that you got angry about it online, troll. God, I love the trolls.
It was my, I will say that we were kind of talking about this before, the monologue where you stand still. Even the monologues where you stand still were moving fast, like there was something going on.
I've gotten better at not monologuing while you stand still all the time. At least you're on a bike.
I'm on a bike.
Sort of moving forward.
If you don't mind, actually, can I read the review that was posted on Amazon for
yes,
the Giant Spider?
Oh, I love it. This is great. Real time.
It was. It was posted on July 18th, 2015. Oh, P.S. By the way, what day is today, dear?
It's the 2nd.
Of August.
Of August.
There you go.
So 2 weeks ago.
There you go. So, one star.
This is great.
Stupid as it can get. You guys need to have dates on your movies. Had I known this was made around the 1950s, I would have not ordered it. Most of the horror movies made around that time are really bad, and this one is no exception. It appears the spider has a smile on its furry face. I do not recommend this one unless you want to laugh at the bad acting and worst animated spider ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, for animation, it is pretty bad because it was real. I mean, the spider itself was real, and the smiling spider face was also real.
Exactly.
The See? Bad acting, though, that was...
That was totally...
No, that was all me. That was all me.
That was on purpose?
we did that on purpose because we were trying to reference the 50s.
So you thought the Giant Spider came out well? Because we haven't seen you on a we haven't had a chance to talk to you on a podcast.
Because you were barred from the podcast. For
a while. Right. Shannon and I, too much drinky drink. So, I'm going to say... So,
You just lost
you're gonna
your...
Edit this. You're going to edit this. Holy crap. Don't want to say drinky drink and Shannon in the same...
She's already been on the show. She's already admitted her newfound sobriety.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Good. So, then we will just cut to... Yeah, Shannon and I having a little bit too good of a time.
Yes.
We'll do that. But I will say... I think the Cave Woman on Mars, the first time I met Chris, and you know, it's my first time meeting him as a director. It just so happens we hit it off as like as individuals. We kind of have, you know, we're family men, we're older guys trying to, you know, do a young man's game, whatever you want to call it, I suppose. And able to, for the longest time, I was, you know, I was consistently working, and for crying out loud, we just discussed how he's made a movie every year for the past decade. So
I got the key to a city.
And he got the, yeah, he got the.
Don't let's forget that.
Wow. Yeah. No, I don't think we new. Can. I don't think we will. No, Chris no. won't let
I it's promise by the next podcast, I won't talk about it.
Yeah.
That's okay. a lot.
As much.
I'm, as much.
Yeah, I'm going to write that down.
So, I mean, I didn't know what to expect, but I tell you what, it was an eye-opening experience when, I mean, for crying out loud, I remember at that time, I was working in the jail. I was working for Ramsey County Corrections. And I didn't know what to think. I had not heard one thing about Chris Mim. I didn't know anything about it. I just went to a regular casting call, and I had starred in a flick with Brooke Lemke previously. And she said, yep, you got to do this. Come audition. I'm in it. It'll be fine. And it wasn't until I got to the premiere, when I got to the Heights Theater that most of the people listening have been to see one of the show's premieres, that holy moly, there's a following here. There's something special going on here. And that was your third movie.
Well, and you know, at that time, you and Brooke had like a chemistry that I've never seen replicated.
Oh wow!
Anywhere.
That's, yeah.
Not even you and Shannon had it.
Yeah, there was just something there when you two looked into each other's eyes. I mean, those kisses were like,
as
oh my God, get a room.
As
Jesus.
He stares at Sherwin's wife.
It was almost. It was
he
almost
is getting her goat.
It was almost as nice. Intense as when Josh kissed, what's her name, Leah for the first time. But really, few things were that.
Shervin looks like he's going to vomit a little.
Few things were that, like, whoa. I mean, that was a moment where it was like, it was like a shockwave, you know, when those two, like, met. It was like this shockwave of,
I just want to know, what was it like to be in the room?
I know. It was uncomfortable, but it was kind of titillating at the same time.
Titillating.
You know?
I'm pretty sure that scene was outside, was it not?
It was outside, but it flowed outward.
It was called rehearsal.
Wait, I mean, you guys made out several times.
I mean, for Christ's sake, they almost fell into the lake for real. And that's not even a joke. They really almost did.
You know what? I am going to give a shout-out to the...
But then Brooke and Dan locked lips, and it was pretty much over from that point.
I'm going to tell you, Brooke Lemke, though, she was actually... the last time I was out in L.A., she let me sleep on her couch, Chris.
I said in her couch. First you said on her couch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In her couch when I was out there last time. So she, and the thing is, she had moved in. This is a good story I can share. She was so new living in that apartment. Apparently they don't have amenities. They don't give, she was in that apartment with no refrigerator. She had no refrigerator. And all of her stuff was like, which was fine because I'd get off set and get home at 10 o'clock at night, and I was up at 6 to be out on set, you know, by 7. But for a housewarming present, Teresa, what did we get her? Two lamps? Like we bought
you
her.
You took her shopping at Target or something.
Yeah, we took her shopping like to get her lamps because she had no lights in her house, in her apartment.
You took her shopping. Huh?
I wouldn't consider that an amenity. I'd consider a fridge and like two overhead lights a necessity. My goodness.
Yeah, that's what she didn't have. So
they have overhead lights at least?
Yeah, she had like one in her like dining room.
I mean, she had light.
She had light.
Somewhere. Yeah. It wasn't just, the sun's going down. We have to light some candles now.
Yeah, exactly. No. So, but, you know, it was interesting. She has a gated, she has to hit a remote that opens up the gate to get into her garage.
I do want to say one thing, and I know I've talked to Mark and Ruby about this a little bit, is I think we do need to make some effort to, now that Brooke Lemke lives back in Iowa, to try and get her up here for a prog podcast.
Yeah,
I agree.
Super interested.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the people, I mean, that's one of the people we have never talked to. And we're down to very few people we've never talked to. And she's one of them.
What?
Yeah.
True story.
She's been in L.A. She's, as far as I know, she hasn't really visited much back here. So, she's in Iowa, dang it. She's not that far from us. Dang it.
You know, we should take a break. I need another cocktail.
Do you? Do you really?
I do.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I was just continuing your dialogue.
Nice. All right, well, then let's take a break then while
Shervin gasses up.
And while he gets some more liquid courage.
He refuels, as it were.
And we'll be back with Teresa Shervin. and making sure that Dan doesn't say anything too stupid.
not a chance.
It's too late.
There's going to be a lot of that going on.
Yeah. Especially as the night comes and keeps going. All right, so tune in to part two.
Okay.
This is writer-director Christopher R. Mim, and I'm here to ask for your support for the Rock Monsters, the official curling team of the Mimiverse. See, for many years, I've been a big fan of the sport of curling, a game that dates back to medieval times and is often referred to as chess on ice. Because of my love for the sport, I've decided to go from spectator to participant by forming my own honest-to-goodness team, the Rock Monsters, the official curling team of the Mimiverse. The members of our team include myself, the First Lady of the Mimiverse, my wife, Stephanie, Monster of All Trades, Michael Kaiser, Bom Bom, and Mark Hader, co-host of the podcast you're listening to right now. Our team currently plays in a weekly league at the official U.S. Olympic training site, which is the Four Seasons Curling Club in Blaine, Minnesota. In honor of the formation of the Rock Monsters, I'm here to offer you a special chance to become a team booster and receive an official team t-shirt, complete with your name or name of your choosing on the back. The front of the shirt will contain a very cool image that I created that shows the monster Phantom Lake coming up out of the house on the curling sheet, the house being the circles in which you throw the rocks into, and then a couple of curling rocks, and then our name, the Rock Monsters Curling Team. The back will have the official logo of St. Euphoria Pictures, all for George Productions, and your name listed with all the team boosters. Booster slots are $25 per name, plus $5 shipping and handling, and of course, if you are a member of the fan club, shipping is free. The plan is that we would love to have these cool new team t-shirts ready that we will all wear, all four of the members of the team, and you when you receive yours. We'd like to wear these for the fall season coming up here. The fall season starts in mid-September. So this offer is really only going to be available for the next couple, 3 weeks following the release of this podcast. So if you want to get in on getting your name on the back of the shirt and receiving one of the shirts with your name and the cool Rock Monsters logo on it, you need to get in on this right away. So please join us today and show your Mimiverse curling pride and support our goofy little endeavor to play a really obscure sport. I mean, hey, you like the films of the Mimiverse, obviously. They're pretty obscure. How is us forming a Mimiverse curling team any weirder than what we've already done? So if you'd like to become a booster, please visit SaintEuphoria.com, the online home of the films of Christopher R. Mim. There's a link under the merchandise menu for Support the Rock Monsters. You can click on that and it'll take you to the curling page where you can see the cool image that'll be on the front of the shirt, but also you can sign up right then and there. Otherwise, if you want to go straight there, go to SaintEuphoria.com/curling, C-U-R-L-I-N-G .html, and that'll get you right there. Thank you very much for listening and for becoming a Rock Monsters booster.